up?
You're out of order.
I want to be a lawyer just like you.
You're out of order.
Good for you, son.
The whole trial is out of order.
If there's one thing America needs,
get out of order.
It's more lawyers.
Oh. Got my pride hanging out of my bed.
Welcome to Legalese. This is your host, Jack Bolinchek, and you listen to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. For today's show, we'll be talking about, it's just one of those recurring issues, which I'm always sad to hear about and sad to see in the news, which is that, according to a recent study, the Kids Count Survey by the Annie Casey Foundation, Arizona's in the bottom five nationally for education and child care, and we have somebody on the line here who will explain the details of that, but... basically, the study ranks the overall child well-being, including economic well-being, health and family and community, and education for children. And apparently we're in the bottom five. I think we have been for several years. Before I go to this guest, too, I just want to point out, of course, there's a big ruling today for out of the Supreme Court. This is a show about the law, but unfortunately we are pre-produced, so I have a show here about another subject, but that is a big subject. We'd love to do a show about that in the future. But I'm going to turn now to my guest on the phone, Laura Speer, the Associate Director of Policy Reform and Advocacy for the Annie Casey Foundation. Laura, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. So let's talk about this. As I say, this is kind of a depressing piece of news, at least for me, that we as a state are, again, in the bottom five for child welfare, child education. Talk a little bit about how this Kids Count survey what went into it and how it's made up?
Sure. We've been doing Kids Count at the Annie Casey Foundation for about 25 years. We did the first report back in 1990, and we do it every year because we think it's important to track the well-being of kids across the country and to raise the visibility of the issues on the public agenda and to give policymakers and advocates some tools that are non-biased and solid data that they can use to make decisions. We have, for the last couple of years, looked at 16 indicators of child well-being. As you mentioned, we look at the areas of economic well-being, education, health, and then the family community domain. And then we rank states on each of those domains and overall. The data we get that we include in this report comes from federal statistical agencies like the Census Bureau and the CDC, and we do that because we want to make sure that the data is collected comparably in every state so that we can compare across states.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, how's the country as a whole doing compared to other countries in this area?
It's a bit of a mixed bag in terms of kids in the U.S. right now. What we did with this report, we looked at the most recent data that's available, which is from about 2011. We compared it to the period right before the recession really got rolling in full swing at about 2005. And what you see is that there were some gains across the country for kids. The education indicators that we track for kids all improved, albeit slightly, but still they're going in the right direction. And then the health indicators that we track for kids improved as well. The place where there's been the most declines and where we're not where we were before the recession started is in the economic well-being domain. Not too surprising given what's happened in the country over the last 5 years or so. However, where we're seeing this be affecting kids the most is we see now about 3 million more children living in households with incomes below the poverty line in the U.S. in 2011 than what we saw in 2005. And that's in a household that makes less than about $22,000 a year for a family of four. It's a very low bar. At the same time, we're seeing more children living in families where the cost of living is just too high. One of the measures we have in our report is the percent of children living in households with a high housing cost burden. And that's about 40% of all kids in the U.S. live in these kinds of households.
Mm-hmm. It seems that the Southwest as a region seems to do especially poorly on these kind of surveys. I think the bottom five in this recent survey that you've done has Arizona, Nevada, and New Mexico in it. I think New Mexico is number 50, the lowest on the survey. What explanation do you think there is for that, if any?
Well, what we see when we look at the data really across the country is that there's a close connection between median income of the state and kind of the overall health of the economy and how parental employment and unemployment and how well kids do on these outcomes. So there's definitely an economic component to it, but there's also a component connected to how much has been invested in the infrastructure for kids. And when we look at states that are at the top of the ranking, what we find is that in general, there are states that have invested in the infrastructure for kids around things like preschool access and the educational system and, you know, and the healthcare system. So there's a component of the economy that plays into it, but then there's also a component of what government programs have done to support children, and we're seeing that in the outcomes that we track.
Sure, yeah, it sounds like the short answer is that the Southwest is just a generally poorer region, is I think what you're saying, and that as a consequence of its being poor, the kids suffer.
To a certain degree, that's true. I mean, when you look across when you look at the poverty rates across the country, the states that have got the highest poverty rates, and that includes both the Southwest and the Southeast, and the states, the other two states in the bottom five are Mississippi and Louisiana. So, that is true.
Yeah, it seems to be a pretty obvious correlation there. You know, I do want to spend a good portion of the show. I know we only have you on for the first segment here, but I do want to spend a good portion of the show talking about, of course, what we can do as both citizens of the state and as voters and otherwise to help solve the situation permanently. As I say, I've been living here since I was born, and it just seems like this perpetual issue of you know, the state being named as one of the worst for child education, for child welfare. I don't know if it's just, as we're discussing, if it's just a natural result of being, I suppose, one of the poorest states in the country. But it's just a sad situation, whatever it is, and I don't think there's an excuse for it. But obviously, you know, the recession is somewhat of a factor in why we're ranked so low. As we've been discussing also, just the fact that Arizona is, you know, poorer than a lot of other states. Let me ask you, how long has your organization been doing this kind of a survey?
We've been doing this since 1990.
All right. Again, I'm talking to Laura Speer, Associate Director of Policy Reform and Advocacy for the Annie E. Casey Foundation. Have you guys been successful in promoting legislation to change this?
Well, what we try to do is really provide the tools that advocates can use to make positive change for kids. So sometimes, and when I say advocates, I should say advocates and policymakers, because sometimes this information gets used by child advocates at the state level to put in front of people who can actually make the legislation and change things in a positive way. Sometimes the members of government take it up on their own, and they use the data to help them make the case for changes that they want to make in for kids. So it really is, you know, I think that there's been lots of examples of times when this information has been used to make change, but then also to track what's been the history over the last administration or two administrations or three, depending, you know, how far back you look, in terms of child well-being. Have kids, even, you know, programs may come and go, but what's happened with the outcomes for kids, and are kids better off now than they were before the program was implemented? And that's why we try to do this report every year, because we want it to be something that can be administrations and be something that is viewed over the long haul in
sure.
terms of what's really happening with kids.
You know, I do want to thank your organization for the work it does. If people want to find out more about what you do, if they want to find out more about the Annie Casey Foundation, where can they go?
They can go to the Annie Casey Foundation's website, which is aecf.org. And I'd also...
All right, thanks. We got to run to the break. I'm sorry, but thank you so much.
Okay.
Laura
no
Speer
problem.
From the Annie Casey Foundation.
The law,
Welcome back to the show. This is Jack Blonchek, and you listen to Legalese on Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. And, you know, as I said at the top of the show, there's big legal news coming out. The Supreme Court has been very active this week. You know, they recently, as of today, struck down the Defense of Marriage Act. So there's some hot topics floating around there. We'll have to cover them in a future show because, as I say, we do our work for the show in advance. We're not procrastinators. And today's show is about, you know, as I say, what I find to be a very depressing news item, the fact that Arizona, it seems, perpetually is in the bottom five states for child education, child welfare, child health care. And I'm honored to have in studio Bruce Liggett, who's the executive director of the Arizona Child Care Association Foundation, as well as Dana Wolf Namark, who's the president and CEO of the Children's Action Alliance. Both guests talk about the state of Arizona, childhood poverty, and education. Thank you so much, both of you, for coming on the show.
Thank you.
All right. You know what I'll do here just to start off? As I said before, I do want to spend a lot of the show talking about how we can change what, like I say, seems to be this endless and recurring, you know, issue of being one of the, you know, the worst states for child education and everything else. Before I get there, though, I'll give you the opportunity to just talk about what your organizations do. Bruce Liggett, Executive Director of the Arizona Child Care Association Foundation. What does your organization do?
The Child Care Association works with private, licensed child care centers, nonprofit, for-profit. So we've got members who are faith-based providers, small, independent businesses, people who've been doing this their whole lives, taking care of children, providing early childhood education. We also have large nonprofits like the YMCA are members, and a lot of the national companies you may see, Tutor Time, KinderCare. So we come together and try to move public policy in ways that better support kids and families.
Okay, great. And my other guest here, Dana Wolf Namark, President and CEO of the Children's Action Alliance. What does the Children's Actions Alliance do?
We're a voice for children and families, both at the state capitol and in the community. So we partner with many Arizonans across the state and organizations like the Child Care Association to work with policymakers to improve children's health, education, and security.
All right. So, you know, the question I want to hit here for today's show is, how do we change this? You know, I'm almost sick of hearing about it. You know, ever since I was a kid here, I've heard about this. What can we do to change this? And is it? And I hope the answer is to this is no. But my question is this just because, you know, as we discussed, Arizona is economically one of the poorest states in the country, which is certainly a pretty tough thing to change. Is it just because of that, or can we be doing more?
Well, I think we can absolutely be doing more. I mean, it's no secret that Arizona has really struggled the past many years with the recession, the loss of revenue. But the long-term look at these indicators, as you said, is that Arizona has not been performing. So it's been tough late, but it's not been good since the survey started for Arizona.
Mm-hmm. The economics certainly pose a challenge for us, but every state has its challenges. And we can absolutely take control and improve our rankings. And what it really takes is paying attention, as you have been, but really coming together and making a commitment that we're going to work to improve. And then we can do it.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things, again, I want to talk about, you know, I know there's been a lot of certainly attempts by the legislature to address this problem, and the legislature just finished up its work here very recently. And, you know, for the last segment of today's show, we'll have on one of the state legislators, Kate Brophy-McGee, to talk about what she's been doing. But let me ask the two of you, you know, now that we're past the legislative session, was there good legislation for kids or not? Were kids a winner this legislative session? Go ahead, Dana.
Kids were a winner this legislative session, and the two main reasons are that people from both parties work together, which we haven't seen in a while, and kids are always winners when there's bipartisan problem solving. And the second main reason is that legislators really paid attention. They asked really tough questions. They looked at how we can improve results. So with that, with the bipartisan work and with the focused attention, they passed several pieces of legislation that will really improve life for kids in foster care and will strengthen our protection of abused and neglected children. And then the budget had some very positive outcomes that Bruce can probably talk about.
Yeah, let's go ahead and talk about that. Given that this is a show about the law, that's probably where our focus should be. Go ahead, Bruce.
Well, I think it's also important to remember that the budget starts with the state agencies talking about what they need, and then the governor coming together and putting out a budget. And this year, the governor had a budget that addressed the needs for child protective services, for child care, for education, to begin to restore some of those devastating cuts that we've experienced since 2009. You know, the state lost 30% of its revenue, $3 billion out of a $9 billion budget is what we lost in 2009, 2010. And that was tough. Decisions were made to disproportionately hit some of the programs that take care of kids who are in poverty, low-income families, support for them. They were hit the hardest during the recession, not only by the recession, but by the state cuts. So we dug ourselves in a deep, deep hole in Arizona. Mm-hmm. This year, the governor said, let's try to begin to restore some of that, and she did. In child care specifically, with the state of Arizona withdrew all the state general fund money from child care a couple of years ago and only operated the program with federal money. $80 million was cut out of child care, serving 25,000 fewer kids today than we were in 2009. A huge cut, a 40% cut. So this year, the budget, and I'm glad you've got Kate Brophy McGee on the program because her leadership was incredible on this, provided $9 million to prevent kids from being thrown out of child care and may be able to bring some new kids in.
Good. You know, I've heard that there's about 4,000 Arizona children that might be removed from child care as of this July. What's the reason for that?
Well, because there was no state money in child care, we were operating with federal money.
Mm-hmm.
The Child Protective Services cases, some of them can get child care also. So as that number goes up, they get in because they're mandatory cases. They're involved with CPS. They need child care. With capped federal funding and the CPS child care cases going up, we ran the risk of throwing out children from low-income working families because we didn't have money. So the governor's budget and this legislative budget provides money to prevent that from happening.
Okay. And you mentioned federal funding. Where is that federal funding coming from?
The Department of Health and Human Services is giving money from a federal child care block grant.
Right.
So Arizona gets about $112 million a year for that.
Yeah.
The program used to be over $200 million.
Wow.
We heard some of the discussion in the debates and fights over Medicaid restoration about what federal funding means for our local economy. Mm-hmm. And that same thing is true of the federal child care funding. That goes right directly into our local economies. It's going to local child care centers, to teachers, to child care directors, to parents. So that is circulating and helping, not only helping give children a good early childhood education, but also helping to strengthen our economy.
Yeah, but as you point out, unfortunately, it runs that same risk that the Medicare debate did about just being very controversial and a very difficult thing for the governor and Republicans to support, even though undeniably the interest there in helping kids is very compelling. It can be tough for people to take that kind of a position. Do you have anything else to say on that topic, Bruce, of the good things that have happened with the budget with regards to helping kids?
I think Dana can address some of the education and health care cuts, but the debate about federal funds is interesting. We can directly tie the cuts to child care that I mentioned, the $80 million less, to 3,000 fewer people working in child care now.
Mm-hmm.
So we not only weren't keeping kids safe and learning and getting them ready for school, we lost part of our workforce because of those cuts. So investments in these kind of programs help the kids, help the families, and have a multiplier effect throughout our economy. So these are really sound investments.
And historically, child care has had strong bipartisan support for all of those reasons, because it is a win for parents, a win for our workforce, and a win for kids' education. So we were very happy to see that bipartisan support again this year. And the same thing for funding for child protective services. We've had huge growth, tragic growth, in the number of reports of abuse and neglect and the number of kids living in foster care. And honestly, our system in no way kept up with that. The legislature did not keep the funding growing with the need. So this past legislative session, they stepped up and recognized that, and they actually provided the funding to meet the growth. And more than that, they also really looked at how we want to stop the growth in foster care and invested in some prevention and support for families so that we can turn that trend around.
Yeah, and that is a sad trend, that's for sure. We have about a minute here before we head to our break, but We're talking about, you know, as I say, the recurring issue with Arizona's poor childhood education levels, poor childhood welfare levels. I'm talking to Bruce Liggett, Executive Director of the Arizona Child Care Association Foundation, and Dana Wolf-Namark, President and CEO of the Arizona Children's Action Alliance. Of course, you're free to call in at 602-277-KFNX. That's 602-277-5369. And I think joining us for the second half of the show will be Representative Kate Brophy-McGee. This is Jack Wilinchek on Legalese Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
You have a right to remain silent. If you give up the right to remain silent, anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to speak with an attorney.
Give me my lawyer!
And to have the attorney present during questioning. If you so desire and cannot afford one, an attorney will be appointed for you without charge before questioning. Now, do you understand each of these rights I've explained to you?
Give me my lawyer! I've been humiliated!
I'd always like to properly Mirandize my guests before I interview them. So that now that's been completed, we can start questioning. For today's show, we're talking about child education levels in Arizona, child health care, child generally welfare levels in Arizona, which is we started off the show just talking about are perpetually low, it seems to me. We always seem to be in the bottom five states, and we're still there for child education, child welfare. I have in studio here Bruce Liggett, who's the Executive Director of the Arizona Child Care Association, as well as Dana Wolf-Namark, President and CEO of the Children's Action Alliance. And I believe we have on the phone Representative Kate Brophy-McGee. Kate, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Great. Thanks so much for joining us.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
So, you know, I'm glad you came on here because one of the things we were talking about in the last segment was whether this last legislative session was a win for Arizona's kids and whether good things happened. And I think we came to consensus that there were absolutely some good things, especially in the budget that happened. But given that you are in the Arizona legislature, let me ask for your opinion on that.
I thought it was an exceptional and long overdue session on behalf of children and our most vulnerable. I will say it's the first time we've had money to do something.
Yeah.
In quite some time, and we were able to do that. I know there were a lot of contentious issues down there, but when it came to children, the legislature stepped up to the plate and got it done, and I'm very proud of my colleagues.
You know, one of the things we were just talking about is that there are a lot of federal funding issues here that in a way kind of reflect the big debate that just occurred with the governor over Medicaid funding. And I think the difference here, though, is that with child welfare, that's a very bipartisan issue, and it's just it's very hard to argue about the need to educate and provide for our kids. Would you agree with that, or do you think have you seen kind of the same blowback or opposition to federal funding on child welfare issues that we've seen with Medicaid?
Well, I think that the issue finds some commonality on both sides of the spectrum, you know, the left and the right, in terms of support for children. I found it interesting that some of my more conservative colleagues, for instance, were very concerned about originally proposed budgets that didn't include money for low-income child care. I think the issue revolves around more of a concern about do we have the money, can we spend the money, and can we sustain it? That's what I would like to believe that it is, as opposed to no, we don't want to fund this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, more of a just a basic kind of budget issue.
Yes.
And I see here the Arizona state budget passed last month will increase education spending for the first time since we began the recession in 2008. Let me ask you more specifically, how does the budget help? And I think we probably touched on some of these issues earlier, but how does the budget help and what does it still lack?
Well, I think the budget is a start on long overdue funding for the schools. I was pleased to see that of the different things that could have been funded or were recommended to be funded that Ultimately, the budget reflected the inflation factor, which has not been funded in a number of years for schools. I think there was a little more interest in funding facilities maintenance, and the budget also included a bonding issue or legislation that I think accounts for the realities of the fact that the state has not had the funds or put forward the funds to maintain school facilities. And at least for those school districts that can bond, they will have an option or an opportunity to do that.
Mm-hmm. I see that 80% of U.S. states help fund early childhood education and preschool. Is it true that Arizona has opted out of spending in that area?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
80% of states and union help fund early childhood education and preschool. Is it true that Arizona does not help fund early childhood education preschool?
I don't quite know the answer to that. I think there are some programs that we fund. I think Mr. Liggett could help out with that. I think we certainly step to the back in our enthusiasm for funding that we identify other priorities in education, K-12, P-20, that are more important or are also in need of being funded.
Absolutely. Yeah, Bruce is nodding his head, so go ahead, Bruce Liggett.
Well, we talked earlier about some of the child care cuts that got some increased funding this year, largely due to some of the efforts of people like Representative Brophy McGee. But the state did have an early childhood block grant program in existence for many years that was funded at about $19 million a year. A lot of that, most of that was used for preschool programs, and that program was entirely defunded 2 years ago. So I know 4,500 preschool children were being served by that program and are not now.
Yeah.
I know Bruce has been in my office so many times with things that have been cut or have gone away, so I'm glad we could put some of it back.
Yeah, I know. It's like I said at the top of the show, it just seems to be one of these perpetual things, whether it's Arizona cutting funding for this area or just these seemingly endless reports in the news that Arizona's in the bottom five for this area. Something needs to be done about it. I mean, I've been living here since I was a kid and since I was born, and I'm tired of hearing about it. But hopefully, in doing the show, at least we'll come to some conclusions about what we can do as citizens of the state to change this and as voters. Let me see here. The second largest expense is implementation of Common Core standards, I believe, in the current budget. I don't know if that's accurate or not. Is that accurate to your knowledge, Representative Kate Brophy McGee?
I don't have the budget figures in front of me,
sure,
but I know that is Common Core takes effect in 2014, and we're behind the eight ball in terms of getting that up and moving and providing the technology for that to happen, because it is very technology intensive in the classroom. There was legislation that was, part of it got through, but part of it didn't, because there appears to be a backlash developing against Common Core standards. I don't understand it. I've listened to the arguments against it, and I don't buy them. I think Common Core is the way to go.
It's funny you say that. We were just talking about that over the break. I know there is some kind of a blowback or opposition to that, but I have no idea what it is. I think it's along the lines of kind of conspiracy theory type stuff. But go ahead. Right. I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No, that's what I was going to say. It's really more rooted in a distrust of the current administration, the current occupant of the White House and his administration, and a concern that there will be a loss of local control in terms of determining curriculum, how the standards are delivered. And in my opinion, and I was on the school board for almost 10 years, it actually strengthens local control, because you can determine what curriculum, what textbooks, what methodology you use to deliver and teach those standards. So in my mind, it puts more control back in the hands of local school boards. I'm very excited about it. I support it. And I think it will make the United States as a whole, and certainly Arizona, more competitive in the international markets.
Sure. Dane, I think you had a comment there earlier. We've got about 1 minute here before we got to run to a break, but go ahead.
Yeah, Representative Brophy McGee's correct about Common Core standards. It really raises the bar where we need it to be for this 21st century. I think the next step for education and for our policymakers in our community is how are we going to give schools, teachers, and students the tools to meet those higher expectations, those third grade reading goals, our graduation goals, and those Common Core standards. And preschool is one of those great opportunities because the research shows that a quality preschool education sets students on the right path for educational success.
Great. All right, we got to run to our break, but I'm talking to Representative Kate Brophy McGee, Dana Wolf Namark from the Children's Actions Alliance, and Bruce Liggett from the Arizona Child Care Association. Listening to Legalese on KFNX 1100 AM. Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Jack Wilenchek, and you're listening to Legalese on KFNX 1100 AM, Independent Talk. And I'm honored to have three guests on the show, Bruce Liggett, Executive Director of the Arizona Child Care Association, Dana Wolf Namark, President and CEO of the Children's Action Alliance, and Representative Kate Brophy McGee. And, you know, what we've been talking about is that seemingly endless item in the news that Arizona is among the poorest you know states in terms of child education. It's among the worst states in terms of child education and child welfare. And particularly, we've been focusing on child education here for the last segment of the show. I've touched on a few things that you know my guests all seem to agree are good things that have happened in this area lately. And, you know, Bruce, I'd like to, like you just say here, you know, I think you're saying that there are some positive things here. There are some changes you've seen, especially lately, in terms of the climate for helping kids and actually getting us out of this, you know, like I say, this well that we're in terms of being one of the worst states for child education. There are some signs of change.
Absolutely. It's been grim since 2009, and with revenues inching up now, and with opportunities like Medicaid expansion, with bipartisan support in the legislature for a budget that moves funding up for kids and protects kids, I'm optimistic. And what I saw that was different this year is the degree of involvement with the business community in issues like Common Core standards and getting there, kind of getting dirty in the trenches and dealing with some of the challenges that really weren't solid challenges, had to be pushed back and had to move forward. So I'm hopeful that this trend will continue and that there may be some other opportunities on the federal level to even expand some of the early childhood programs. So I think we're positive and hopefully moving forward.
Good. You know, I really do hope so because education is one of those issues, you know, again, it seems to just be perpetually one of those issues that it's not very sexy, but really it's where everything good comes from. You know, you have a good education system, and everything else just builds from that. You know, people want to come to the state. It'll attract businesses to the state because, of course, businesses look at that kind of thing when they're looking for a place to move and a place to put their headquarters. They're looking for good schools. It's not a sexy issue, but really it's one of the most important, if not the most important issue. And I know, of course, traditionally it's been something that needs a lot of funding. It always will be, always has been, but it needs to be. It really is one of the most important issues in the state. But, you know, if we can even shift away a little bit from education and just talk about child welfare. I know Representative Kate Brophy McGee, I know that you had some involvement with a CPS bill this past legislative session, so I'll go ahead and give you an opportunity to talk about that.
Well, there were actually three pieces of CPS legislation. The first was a supplemental appropriation at the very beginning of session, which approved the hiring of additional 50 caseworkers this year, absolutely, desperately needed. There was also a huge component of CPS, I would say a sizable CPS funding component in the budget, and I'm sure Dana has talked about that. And in addition, there was the CPS reform bill, I call it an omnibus bill, which was constructed by a whole bunch of different stakeholders over the past almost year to provide the statutory go forward or marching orders for CPS to establish accountability, oversight, transparency, to continue to refine and tweak the Office of Child Welfare Investigations, which was created as a part of CPS in the prior session, to refine their duties. It encompassed everything from soup to nuts. And I have to tell you, Dana was my best friend, Dana and Beth, in terms of shepherding this through, understanding what was in it, reaching out to stakeholders, and explaining how important it is that in addition to the funding, you have this accountability, these accountability measures going through. And we got most of it done. It got hung up at the end of session, but most of the key components of that reform and oversight did get through. So it was quite the bill. It was by far the most difficult bill I've ever worked on.
No, that's good. That again is an issue that very very recently, within the past year or so, has gotten a lot of press. And again, it just feels like one of those issues where nobody seems to put the attention to it that it really deserves. So I'm glad to hear that. Glad to hear the legislation is trying to do that. That's good.
Well, and I think they are. I think with this awful recession, if you'll remember, we started out 2009-10 somewhere in there with literally the worst budget deficit in the nation in terms of revenues, projected revenues versus actual revenues, and spending. I mean, we were about $3.5 billion out of whack. And when we cut, the cuts were painful. And a lot of the support systems that Bruce and Dana have talked about were decimated, eliminated, gone. So instead of having a child care subsidy, you have children staying home alone and reports of neglect, or you have parents staying home and filing for unemployment. It's really a vicious cycle, and I'm hoping that we can build on the successes of this session going forward to bend that curve back from a significant number of very horrific child deaths and abuse situations more into the prevention mode. And I think that's the focus on child welfare going forward.
Mm-hmm. Dana, do you have any comment on that?
That's absolutely right. And it was exciting to have Representative Brophy McGee as such a determined champion this session and working with many of her colleagues. And I think what she just mentioned is absolutely the key, which is how do we build up prevention and help strengthen families so they don't need CPS and kids don't need foster care. And that's what is the best thing about the legislation that she shepherded through the process. It lays the foundation to do that.
Good. All right. As I say, we're talking about child health care. I'm sorry, not health care, welfare in general, and education, and what can be done really just to solve this endless issue of Arizona being one of the worst states in both categories. I understand there's now an expanded private school voucher program, and I think I'm going to throw this out to any one of my three guests who wants to talk about that. Kate Brophy McGee, given that this is I think a new effort of legislature, I'll ask you to comment first, I think.
On the private school vouchers?
Right.
Well, I think the legislature has an affinity for charter schools and private schools, which goes very deep and is very philosophical. I wanted to go back and just mention that
sure.
On how do we keep from going back to where we're trying to get out of. I think that the manner in which the legislature or JLBC, and this, I'm not criticizing them, but the way that they cost out the impact of legislation, I don't think in this issue accounts for all the factors that can go wrong. And I gave you an example of a parent who goes on unemployment because they can't get child care subsidies and or the child becomes neglected. We have taken a look at how we forecast our revenues over the past couple of years since I've been in the legislature. We now go out 3 years. I think we need to take a look at how we cost out the cuts that we make and the funding that we approve. I would mm-hmm. very much like to put these tax credits and these types of things back on the table and really understand how much they're costing. We tend to do it piecemeal.
Sure.
I'd rather have an overall look at those types of actions and how they impact the overall budget.
No, it seems to make a lot of sense to me. And obviously, as you've been saying, there have been a lot of cuts lately in the past few years, a lot of painful cuts. And it's very hard to understand just all the effects these kind of cuts can have. And I don't know if there's anybody out there who's really trying comprehensively to do that. So I think that's a very good point. I guess the basic question here is whether this expanded school voucher program, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know if any of my guests here have a comment on that. We're running short in time, so if not, I think we'll just move on. I've got another question here that I think I'll just touch on in the time we have. I understand Chester Crandall has a new bill, the outcome-based school funding bill. Kate Brophy-McGee, do you have any comment on that bill?
Is it a study committee?
According to this, it's a bill, SB
1293. Yeah, Senator Crandall has a lot of interesting ideas. And typically, when they're introduced, the legislature prefers to look at them and have them turn it into a study committee. Let's try and understand this concept better. I think he's up to about 8. He is very much of a forward thinker. I hope that was converted into a study committee, because we have piled so many mandates on our school districts and our schools. I think we need to put funds back in before we start tying more funding to performance. And we have to eliminate the mandates we've already put on them that we have not funded.
Sure.
We need
okay.
to make some decisions here.
All right. Unfortunately, we got to run here. We're coming up on the end of the show. But I want to thank my guests, Representative Kate Brophy-McGee, Dana Wolf-Namark, President and CEO of the Children's Action Alliance, and Bruce Leggett, Executive Director of the Arizona Child Care Association. Thanks to all of you
much.
For coming on the show, and thank you so much. This is Jack Wilenchek on Legalese Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Thank you.
Thanks.